So, once more, it's welcome to Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the Sunday edition. That's Sunday, August 30th, 2026, if you happen to be at that point in time in your life, as I am in mine, more or less, a little before, actually, but it'll be netcast on the 30th. It's also, of course, part of an archive that, at the moment, goes back, into the way into the 90s, way back into the 80s even, and there are some conversations from the 70s if you really go researching on the Huff website at huffsantacruz.org. But more about this flashback as we get through the contemporary show, which I don't have a lot of material for you. A little, but not a lot. And we'll do what we can with it. I'm also having, as usual, technical problems. My techie, I think, may have been trying to reach me, and we're still not quite gripping each other firmly enough so that we can make the necessary changes that might upgrade or restore some of the questionable quality, such as it was, of this show, but going to do what I can. So, as you regular listeners may know, this is a increasingly repressive time for folks outside, with encampments being busted up methodically. The most recent one, of course, was some weeks ago at the Coral Street sidewalk area in front of the Funding Matters Poverty Complex. You know, that's the group that is expanding its business and supposedly its outreach, but actually cutting off services to the majority of folks outside who can no longer get access to basic civilities like porta-potties, bathrooms, showers, electrical hookups so they can maintain their phone connections. Because, you know, Funding Matters, or Housing Matters, as they call themselves, is really concerned with getting housing for all those homeless folks. That's why they're getting millions and millions of dollars each year, and they're spending it so wisely. I speak dryly and sarcastically, in case you hadn't noticed. It also appears, although there are different mixed reports about police going after folks gathering wherever they gather in groups who are outside, like, along the levee at River Street, across from Trader Joe's, or between the Dragon's Head Bridge and Water Street, or between the Dragon's Head Bridge and Soquel. Reports of unusual police clustering, and of being told, go away and don't come back. But, of course, homeless folks really can't go away. Many of them have roots here. Others have formed connections here and are getting services here that they need and that they're entitled to, I might add, as all of us are entitled to some basic services. And when we're not getting them, we sure as hell should be. And it's high time we did and made sure we did. In any case, it's difficult times. And I'm going to be playing some stuff from Democracy Now!, which I'm not normally a big fan of, mostly because of their foreign policy. Although they're good on Palestine, but not so hot on Ukraine. There's a segment called Trump's War on the Left, in which there's a discussion of the Prairie Land 9 and the incredible, monstrous over-prosecution and the many decades in jail that some of these activists are facing for a fireworks noise demonstration outside a jail in solidarity with people who are protesting ICE. You're going to be hearing that directly from Democracy Now! I don't normally play this kind of stuff because for two reasons, three actually. One, it's not local. Two, it's available online. And three, we need stuff that we can deal with here that, I guess that's in the under the not local category. Anyway, let's sort of slumber into the theme song music and see where we get, and we'll go where we're going.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of breadlines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you.
So, for those of you who missed the last show or the protest itself, we did have a killer Coonerty rally in front of Bookshop Coonerty, the Ryan Coonerty bookstore, the Coonerty family bookstore, which has its high points and its low points, but it is sort of the lair, to some extent, of the or the main business, or perhaps, I don't know if it is the main business these days, but it's certainly how I identify. Well, I've always identified the Coonerty family with this bookstore for good and for bad. For good, because for decades they provided a public restroom free of charge when most of the town shut down its facilities to people. Even coffee shops were reluctant to let you use their restroom, you know, for fear you might invite a homeless person in, you know, for heaven's sake. In any case, you can find a discussion of this protest, which has to do with opposition to Coonerty's run for mayor coming up in November against Amy Chen Mills, who there's some controversy at our Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom organization as to whether there should be support. I'm no fan of supporting either candidate myself, but there are those who, you know, go for the lesser evil strategy. Always trying to remember that the lesser evil is still evil, and so you're actually going with, you're essentially helping them to manufacture the consent for whoever wins. It's actually the machine that we're really concerned about rather than the individual, though some individuals are certainly worse than others. Anyway, if you want to read about this protest, or you can also get access to interviews that I did there. It's not terribly exciting, but, you know, it gives you some idea of what we were up to. You can also read some of the literature I distributed, specifically a flyer which I may have read the last show called Say No to Laws That Punish the Poor, and I was distributing some of that at the Food Not Bombs meal on Saturday, yesterday, if you're listening to this on Sunday the 30th of August, 2026. So in any case, you go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, and you'll find some descriptions and some stories of that and previous attacks on the homeless, which I've been following somewhat, and also resistance to those attacks. On the extreme right of the screen, under the local newswire, you'll find some of my stories. I'm, of course, Robert Norris, in the past known as Bathrobes Pierre Robert, because if it's not too hot and I'm not too tired and I show up to this protest, if and when I do show up, and I often do at least make a token appearance these days, at least, I wear a bathrobe and carry my faithful teddy bear, Eduardo, with me in order to both sort of provide a sort of a theatrical humor and a sort of a bitter way about how there is, in essence, criminalization of homeless people who are sleeping outside and who really have no options but to do that. But their presence, of course, offends the more delicate sensitivities and sensibilities of some of our housed people, who like to put them in little boxes in their mind that say, oh, they must be either a criminal, a bum, mentally ill, an alcoholic, perhaps. Of course, a drug abuser, a person who's made bad choices and has to live with those choices and so forth. Some of these things may be true, and probably are true in a number of cases, but the reality of treating people inhumanely it scars the entire city, as far as I'm concerned, and scars the community and how we deal with each other in ways we can't even imagine or be aware of most of the time, I think. In any case, the person I often have on my show is Katzenjammer Keith McHenry, as I call him. You probably don't remember the Katzenjammer comic strips of the 20s. Your grandfathers and grandmothers may have read them in the old days if they were following the funnies, but Katzenjammer is a word that means to me, it has to do with the strip was called the Katzenjammer Kids, and they were just always pranksters. And I've often regarded Keith McHenry's approach as being that of a merry prankster who is also very quite serious and caring about people who he and his organization, and the organizations, it's not really his organization, but it's the organization that his example has inspired people to replicate in their own neighborhoods and throughout the world, food, not bombs. Anyway, he's got thoughts about issues, and I grill him quite periodically, and now I'm about to grill him again, or at least hear something from about a week ago. But it's unfortunately still some relevance, so check it out. So today is the 23rd of August, 2026. It's around 2:10. I'm on the line with bedbound poor Katzenjammer Keith McHenry, who's dealing with all kinds of physical problems, but who is not too ill to talk. Good afternoon, Keith.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No, thank you for being had. So, you were mentioning to me when I asked you about the latest in Levy adventures for those adventurous souls who dare to survive outside in Santa Cruz and who do a bit of clustering on the levee across from Trader Joe's and by the Dragon's Head Bridge and right across from San Lorenzo Park. And you have some, should we say, surprising but not surprising and rather not reassuring news.
Yeah, so, you know, yesterday, Saturday, you know, I was printing up some stuff for the protest against Coonerty down at the FedEx in New Leaf, and I saw some patrol cars up on the levee, and they were forcing some people with shopping, or like, not really shopping carts, but, you know, belongings out of the area. And then I went further down
Where exactly was this happening, Keith? Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, this is above, you know, above the parking lot outside of New Leaf, downtown on River Street in Santa Cruz.
Right, so it's a pretty large segment. I think I know what you mean. It's between the Dragon's Head Bridge and Soquel.
No, it's the other direction. This would be almost to Highway 1.
Oh, okay. And so...
Yeah, we're New Leaf. It used to be Ross Clothing, but now it's called New Leaf Grocery.
I know that area, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, there was a little playground or exercise thing there for, you know, and they were... A couple of people were there with their belongings. And the cops had come and were telling them they had to leave the area.
Now, how did you happen to get that far down? You were just sort of walking, and or you were driving, you were getting reports. How'd that happen?
Okay, no, I was at, I happened to go to FedEx to print some signs for the protest outside of Bookshop Santa Cruz. FedEx is in that same parking lot.
Right.
And then I had to wait for FedEx to open because I was there too early. So I was sitting in the parking lot, and I noticed the police, so I went up there and took pictures of all that.
Now, is this for me, the FedEx I remember, maybe I'm behind the times, is sort of adjacent in a way to the Dragon's Head Bridge, if you know where that is, the passenger bridge that crosses the San Lorenzo River and goes to San Lorenzo Park.
No, it's nowhere near that. It's
and that's where FedEx used to be, you know, that, I mean, it was...
Yeah, so FedEx is now next to, next to where Ross used to be.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, it's in that parking lot. Gateway Plaza is what they call that area.
And so, about what time of day?
That's where I was at originally. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I went. Then I had to do some errands down by the Dragon Bridge, and there were no homeless anywhere along the whole levee. Anywhere? No, none. Absolutely none. All the way and nowhere. Anywhere from Highway 1, and then I kept investigating because I was pretty shocked about the lack of anybody. Visible at all, and so it turned out there was nobody all the way to Warrior Stadium. There was nobody from Highway 1 to Warrior Stadium on that side of the river at all. And of course, there was also nobody on Coral Street because they fenced off Coral Street.
Well, about what time of day was this, Keith?
It was started at about 8:30, and then it ended about 10:30, and then I. So then I went to Food on Bombs, and I was talking to people waiting to eat, and they said, yeah, we're told now by the police that you cannot sit anywhere along the levee, that you must always either be walking or riding a bike. You cannot be doing anything else like that. So that's, you have to be, walking. Or riding a bus. You cannot sit on the levee.
Now, the Food Not Bombs...
Anymore.
Food Not Bombs people you talked to, were this yesterday or today at the Food Not Bombs?
It was Saturday at Food Not Bombs. And yeah, people were saying, yeah, we've been told we're no longer allowed to sit. The law is that the pathway is only for walking and riding bikes. And
I've not seen such a law. Have you seen such a law?
That's probably not a law, but that's what the cops are telling all the people.
No, of course, The cops will say, I'm just wondering what the... Of course, the city council can very graciously make it a law very quickly, but that's not, you know... I think Parks and Rec would declare it, you know, a closed area, although it's kind of hard to close it to sitting. Sitting bans are a little more, you know, politically sensitive than curfews at night or, curfew areas or... closed for cleanup, that can be done in a more limited way, but to make it a sort of a general thing, you need to probably turn it into at least a written policy of some kind. I'm not sure how they can do that, but the reason I'm interested is, I'm a no fan of the courts, but I'm aware that there may be some, that may be one place to start pushing back. I don't know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I think when you consider, it was so egregious, it's unbelievable. You know, the homeless people were at Food Not Bombs. They were not, they're hiding. They can't be seen. It's unbelievable. It's the most draconian attack on homeless I've seen in Santa Cruz ever. I mean, this is outrageous. To actually eliminate the homeless from visibility downtown, it was pretty impressive. And when you consider they're doing, blocking off Coral Street with fences, and now they're not letting people sit on the levee. And what's the other issue? One of the reasons we have so many people eating at Food Not Bombs is that people used to, we used to drive by on Coral and hand out, pastries and stuff every few days. And I know a lot of church people did that. And then they were doing the same thing on, along a levee. You had, Bread and Roses handing out food there. And I really don't know what Bread and Roses is going to be doing at this point. And it just makes it really difficult to find people. And then I also, the organization that's... defending the rights of undocumented people, Yarrow, they wanted to help with the sweeps, monitor the sweeps, so then I have to say, well, we don't really know what they're just not letting people be around long enough to be, you know, for us to observe the sweeps. You know, it's just like instantaneous removal of homeless people wherever they try to be. And that's completely shocking. It's very shocking that that's happening to such an extreme extent now. That's just amazing. And I don't think they need laws anymore. You know, I'm pretty sure that's a passé former illusion. It's no longer, no one gives a crap about any laws. I mean, it's... And I think it's interesting, people were asking, why was this happening right now as opposed to, you know, like what hadn't happened before? And, you know, why is it so dramatic right now? Now, my opinion is that they're probably... You know, the people that run the city are very tied in to intelligence agencies and so on like that. And they're also really big, you know, they basically are the high-tech, you know, they're all linked into Google and all that stuff, you know, which are all like CIA-initiated organizations. And so they probably know something, you know, like is going to be real dramatic. That's my sense, that essentially there's going to be a massive amount of homeless people, and if you're going to have a high-tech, high-income city, you've got to get ahead of getting rid of all the homeless. I think that's apparently what they're doing, because even the point in time count, which is all total nonsense, said there was an increase in homelessness, what, like 12% or something? Yeah, so I mean, there's so many financial plates in the air that are collapsing I would not be surprised. I mean, if I can predict these kind of things, I'm sure, you know, Palantir can predict these kind of things, the CIA can predict this kind of stuff, and then they can possibly manipulate events. So these events happen, you know. So
reports from other vicinities, like either near or far, like San Jose, Watsonville, Capitola, San Francisco, about from any other Food Not Bombs groups or other organizations that you've had some connection with?
No, I mean, you know, it's the same like horrible sweeps everywhere. That seems to be happening.
But nothing about a total disappearance like here in San
Francisco? Not like what we've seen here. I've not heard any or seen any social media posts or anything about as harsh as what's happening here. This is really quite incredible.
Is Food Not Bombs expanding in California at all, as far as you know?
It's just, we have like a new Inland Empire group, you know, they've got a couple of, I think Pomona, they serve in Pomona, and so on, they've got like, yeah, there's a lot, you know, Willits, that was a newer group that just started up in Willits, you've got Weed, you've got a new chapter starting up in Chico, and you still have all the other chapters, you know, like East Bay, San Francisco.
Any connection with homeless people in those chapters that you've heard about? Any interest? I know I'm not so much referring to explicit political organizing and tabling, but just a more awareness and more, you know, when you talk to those folks or receive messages or hear about them, is there any discussion of the homeless situations there?
Yeah, there's always. I mean, that's who they're feeding. Fresno, we had some people eat with us here who had been eating in Fresno, and they were just getting sick of the laws in Fresno, so that got real hardcore.
You're talking about Jasmine and we had a couple who showed up at the Santa Cruz Homeless Union meeting on
the
steps, by the way. If you're going to if you intend to do a meeting next Thursday at this, you know, at this, the protest yesterday and there at the meeting, you know, we had, I guess Alicia showed up, but she didn't show up at this protest. I'm not sure what she was doing. I haven't talked to her.
And breaking in, as is customary in these shows, I'm going to be giving you lots of musical breaks, mostly by Aitsuno, the David Rovics artificial intelligence that I think puts a lot of good songs into good shape. So this one, well, we'll begin with it, see if you can figure out what it's called.
course, why? Like so many questions, it never gets a reply. When I look to the future, something I wish I could know. Civilization, or does it all?